Welcome to the CEN Show, a platform where we learn from the world community.
Uh-oh.
I'm your host, Roski Mascagni. And on the panel this evening, we got Professor Amin-Ra and Ernest McBride Jr. And we have two guests this evening. We have Miss Sonia and Miss Nakisha. And so I met Miss Sonia when the Langston professors came on. And I'm always looking for guests, so I talked her into it. And I'm glad she did accept. And then she invited her counterpart guest tonight. And that's the good thing too. So I'm not going to talk too much. I'm about to turn it over to Miss Sonia. Miss Sonia, thank you for accepting. Thank you, Nikesia, for coming on with us. And you could tell us something about yourself, Miss Sonia, and then you could turn it over to Nikesia. She can tell us something about herself, and then
Okay.
we can tackle this topic of mental health blues during the holidays. All right.
Okay. Good
Welcome,
afternoon,
welcome.
everyone. Or good evening, I should say. But I'm
Good
Sonia.
day.
I'm Sonia. Something about myself, I'll say I'm a mom, proud mom. Currently trying to complete an organizational leadership degree. And I'm just enjoying life. But sometimes with this topic, you do get the blues mentally, especially during the holidays. But I'm excited and thank you for the invite, making me step outside my shell. And Keisha,
All
you can
right, my
go.
name is Nakisha. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation. It's an honor. I first want to start by saying if this li I am traveling for the holidays, so if this light cuts off, I'll cut it back on because it's for whatever reason, it's a time sensor light. But I am a licensed professional counselor. I'm also a licensed alcohol and drug counselor. I've been in this field since 2005, and I became a therapist in 2010. I own a practice called Pinnacle Counseling in Oklahoma City. I'm a disabled veteran, so I work with a lot of disabled veterans, and I work with others as well, dealing with depression, anxiety, marital problems, familial issues, and things like that. So that's a little bit about myself.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, Miss Sonia, it's your
Okay.
floor.
All right. Well, I kind of wanted to say it is a struggle during these times. For me personally, I would say the struggle with mental health at times is just when you lose loved ones and you used to celebrating holidays, and when they're not here with you struggle. For me, I struggle every day, but the holidays just kind of escalates it. But just during them times, I just try to do a lot of self-care. That may be like hanging out with other family members. Sometimes I have to take time to myself as well. But for me, during these times, the people that I miss the most will be my brother and my grandmother, who are both deceased. So yeah, these past few months have been tough, but I'm thankful that I do have the family now that is here with me. So definitely I'm not alone. But some of my self care is me just being able to relax, get pedicures, manicures, go to the movies. Sometimes it may just be me doing Netflix for watching season shows. But my question to you all are, what do you all do to maintain your healthy mental state? Keisha, well, Roski, you want to
Well,
go?
I'll let Nikesia speak about it, and then
Okay. So this year has been a huge change for me. I lost my sister in January, and then my mom in July. My sister has a son, so he initially went to live with my mom, and after she passed, he came with us. So this is our first set of the holidays that we are significantly different. So just taking care of myself during the holidays and any day, all the time, is emotional awareness, tapping into how I feel and understanding that the emotional peace is not a flaw in the system, it's part of the system. So just really being in tune to how I feel really helps me. And knowing what I need at the time, it may be a hug, a conversation, or a spa, or some deep breathing. I really appreciate and love deep breathing. That practice is so wonderful. Paying attention to thoughts, because your thoughts become real. You know, the brain is neutral. It takes whatever you give it. So part of that self-care is understanding what I'm thinking, why I'm thinking it. Is it true? Is it productive? You know, is it something that I need to resolve? Is it something that I need to accept? So those are the things that I do to take care of myself. Very internal based.
Ernest?
Well,
did you hear the question?
Yeah.
Okay.
About things to do. I got plenty to do because my wife has had dementia since 99. I'm her full-time caregiver. We've been married like 62 years, so
wow.
That keeps me going, her. So keeps me on edge, you know, because I don't know what to expect day to day. But, you know, most days things go good. And then like Christmas time come, we got a family, extended family and stuff, because my two daughters, I got one that lives in Grenoble, France, and they're due in LAX at 10:30 tonight and spend 10 days with us. And they were here in, I guess, October. They were here for 10 days. So they'll kind of relieve me, you know, during the holiday. And then my oldest daughter lives up in L.A., and my granddaughter is 21, so, and she's on a Christmas break from college, so that's a lot of help. Oh, and my grandson also, because he goes to San Francisco State, so he's home, so I got a lot of help during the holidays to kind of keep me from getting the blues, so we're just looking forward to them coming. And like Sonia said about her, you know, when I get a chance, well, my daughter makes me go, because usually I sit there with my wife, because, you know, chair right by her bedside. And if, most of the time when I get up, she says, "Hey, where you going?" She gets kind of excited. I say, I'm going in the kitchen. I'm going there. I'm going to do that. So the only bad thing about our whole scenario is that she's bedridden. She can't. You know, she's been that way since February of 2020. So, you know, lost the ability, I don't know, mentally of using her legs. So, but other than that, we just, and so that gives me a lot less worry, because I don't have to worry about her, where she is. And then, because I'm in a dementia group where there's some caregivers, it's about 18 of us. They're all blacks, all male, and we meet twice a month on Zoom. And when I hear the stories of them wife walking out of the house and they panic and they look, well, I don't have that worry, you know, because I know where my loved one is at all times.
That's right.
So in a way, that's I hate it for her because she's immobile, but it's great for me because, you know, that's the worry I don't have to worry about. So,
right. So
that just, and then I play it by ear. And in this group that I'm in, like I say, you hear stories, because most of the guys in the group, they've cared for a loved one, either a parent or a sibling. You know, mm-hmm. So one guy, his name is, he runs the health care thing at USC, and then this year he moved to Cal State Irvine, setting up a program over there. So he's real knowledgeable, and then most of these guys in the group, they've been, you know, one guy was in there, been doing his wife for like 16 years, which was unusual for her to, survive that long. But and she just passed about a year and a half ago. So, but he still connects with the group and let
That's
us know
good.
how he's doing. And they always say, "Hey, number one thing is look out for yourself. Make sure you are right, so you can provide for her." So that's constantly what I do. And my daughter makes sure of that, because she makes sure I, at least a day a week, I get out of here and get involved. I was ex-track coach at the high school, Long Beach Poly, so they have meets. She makes me go to all the track meets and stuff. So that gives me a relief and keeps me kind of into things. And then I'm still involved. My dad was co-founder of the Long Beach branch, NAACP, he and my mom, back in 1940. So
Okay.
they had the 85th anniversary. This year is their 85th year, and they, at the African American Culture Center, they put on a big, got a display going on now for my mom and my dad. That,
Wow.
they run it from November 15th to December 27th, 28th. And so we kind of go over there, all the family come and my friends. So it's, that kind of keeps me going there. Yeah.
So that's it. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
So this is it right here. We have it on the website, the exhibit. And
Okay.
it goes all the way to the 31st. Dang,
I think they
I need
put
to
out
go.
another fly. I think it's going in the 20,
Oh, they changed it?
28th, Saturday the 28th.
Okay, I need to get over there and see it, because I had planned to go the first day, but I didn't
So
make it over there.
it was
I'm glad you told me
pretty
that.
real nice job, yeah.
Okay.
That's nice.
Yeah.
What an accomplishment.
So we were busy all week trying to provide, photos, and my dad got so many accolades. People rewarded him, different organizations invited him, because when he retired, he didn't, people would call him. He said, "I don't need to go." And so I tell him, "Hey, don't call him, call me, because I retired in 1997. I say, "So anytime you want him to come and be a guest and give him an award, you make sure I know about it, and I'll make sure he gets there,
That's good.
Yeah, because I told him, you've been a thorn in the side of the city of Long Beach since 1940. They've had, he's like Amun-Ra. They had to deal with him all the time. And he's well known. And so I said, now these people are trying to award you. They realize what you have really done, and they're trying to give you accolades and stuff for that, and you accept it whether you want to go or not." So I had to talk to him when he was alive. He passed in 2007. He was like 90,
That.
96,
Wow.
96 and a half, yeah, about. So I had him to go, so that kind of. And we had a lot of fun with that. A lot of different Jewish organizations and other and city organizations would always invite him to something and kind of highlight him, And then this year, because it's the anniversary of the branch, he and my mom's being highlighted, So
Okay.
Yeah,
that was kind of a surprise to us.
yeah,
That's amazing. It
well, that's a
is.
well-deserving accolade right there. And I appreciate you hanging out with us, Ernest. That's, that
I
makes
know Dr. Ra used to come by there putting bugs in my dad's ear way
Yeah.
back
Yeah, that's excellent. Appreciate
70s and 80s.
that information.
Yeah.
So, Brother Joe, you want to unmute? How you doing?
Oh.
Joe?
I'm here.
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm good, good. Good to see you here. Now, Sonia, she had a question for us that we're answering. Sonia, can you repeat that question so we can get Joe to answer it?
Yep, sure. The question was, what do you do to maintain a healthy mental state?
During
especially
the holidays.
During this time of the holidays. The title is Mental Health Blues During the Holidays. And what do you do to maintain a healthy mental state?
Well, first of all, I don't participate in these holidays.
Well, that's good.
I don't trip on no European cultural stuff. And what I do for my mental health is I have a commune with nature in my garden and outside. That's what I do.
Okay. And that keep you in peace and...
Yeah. The sun going down was not happening today, but normally watching the sun go down and watching little insects in my garden, watching stuff grow. That's what I do for my mental health.
Okay. That's...
Trying to stay healthy.
Yep, that's the mind, body, and soul.
Yeah, that's it. But I know people that can, you know, they get caught up in that stuff and can't do like they wish they could do economically and financially, and they get all depressed and all that. But it ain't nothing but a certain type of folks making money off that stuff anyhow. And that's the way I look at it, and I ain't giving a dime, so...
Okay.
People be sending me all these well wishes and always text them back. I say thank you and the same for you and yours, but I do not participate in European holidays, any day culture stuff at all.
So they don't send you no more well wishes, huh?
They keep doing it. They keep doing it. They say they're working on me. I like, you can work on me all you want.
Yeah. Well, you know what? One good thing, though, is mental health. Really, yes, people get down during these times because of the economical stress that's put onto people. But I know at the end of the day, we all suffer from some type of mental illness or just temporary.
Ouch.
Yeah. But all those things that I feel like most of us have already listed are things that will help people on a day to day to tune into what they know, or even nature, or just general things, or being around people who are positive.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Joe. Professor Ra?
Yeah, Bonnie Gagne again, everyone. Really grateful for you two young ladies to be on the show. And appreciating your question, if I understand it correctly. There's about three aspects to my answer.
Okay.
The first is, to me, every day is a holiday when you reach a certain age. Every day is a blessing.
Amen.
And you give praise and thanks to the Creator. Once you reach a certain age, you're thankful for the next day, and you're thankful for the next minute, and the next hour, and the next second. You
That's
don't know
right.
if you're going to come out the bathroom alive. You don't know if you're going to go not wake up. You
mm-hmm.
understand? So you have a tendency to just appreciate life and the longevity of your life. You know, and that's important. The second aspect is I'm Afrocentric. I respect everyone who choose to celebrate their days that they find sacred or necessary in the ways they want to celebrate them. They want to go out and buy gifts, fine. They want to go out and get drunk and do their thing. I don't endorse it, but that's what they do. That's what they do. A lot of people smoke weed. I don't.
Right.
People snort cocaine, do whatever to make them happy. You know, that's on them.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? You look back on your life, the second thing is you realize how short life is. You understand? And as you get older, you're either going to a funeral or coming from one.
Amen.
You know, you lose loved ones, you lose friends, and you know, you follow the news, and it'll depress you if you didn't have an outlook on life that's all a part of life. You understand? And that just because it's all on the mass media, and they got more stations now. When we was coming up, we only had about 6 or 7 stations. And they cut off at 12 midnight in the old days. You understand? It'd be, that's all you hear. You know, a symbol up there.
Yeah.
That's it. They never had no 24-hour TV.
No.
I have 6 children and 14 grandchildren. Wow. And they all of different persuasions as far as, you know, they don't see life the way I see it, and they don't practice it. And I don't try to make them be like me. I let them choose the life they want to choose. You get more spiritual. That's another thing when you get older. Yeah. You don't think about spirituality when you're young because you're full of vitality and you're busy. And you don't have time to think about those type things. Sometimes even if you were forced to go to a spiritual center, a church, a synagogue, mosque, or whatever when you were young, when you get older, you break loose and do your own thing sometimes. So it's a challenge with my grandchildren and kids because they got grandparents on the other side that celebrate the holidays and join stampedes and malls and do their thing. You know, that's on them. You understand? I haven't shopped in years. You understand? I got enough clothes, enough cologne, enough soap and water, and enough of things taken care of your Bible needs. But as Ernest said, you know, you want to try to get the stretch your life out as long as you can.
Amen.
And you want to try to stay as healthy as you can, which is a challenge for me because I have a multitude of health issues. From diabetes to high blood pressure to dialysis to all of that. But I'm uplifted because of this show that we have. It keeps my mind sharp. And because of the people that we meet and the people that make up our team. You understand? We check on each other, just call and say, hey, how you doing? What's going on? You know? So we have a community. And it's a beautiful thing. So I don't get the blues, period. You understand? Okay. Rasha Key made me a song. I listen to it all day, celebrating who I am and what I used to do as a professor. And that's my favorite song. And I just play it all the time. You understand? And I wake up in the middle of the night, and put on my earplugs, and listen to my song. And it's uplifting, you know? Because my wife, she be sleeping, and I don't want to disturb her, so I put my earbuds in and listen to it and just be wobbling my head. You understand? So it's a beautiful thing. Life, like I said, is complex. And you as young ladies, you're going to run into a lot of challenges with male-female relationships. You're going to run into a lot of challenges with just relatives and friends and things of this nature. And just, you know, you don't have to get depressed because of holidays. Sometimes you just get depressed just to get depressed.
Life. Because of life.
So I understand that because, you know, you sometimes think you should be further than what you are, you know, and you started late or whatever. So it's a situation where you get down on yourself. And that's what I'm trying to suggest. You never get down on yourself.
Amen. I'm taking it in.
You, both of you look like you're about in the top 10% of the people in the world. The 3% got the money. But
we'll take that top 10 and
you got a lifestyle. You got a roof over your head, you got food, you're in the top 10%. Think about all the people that don't. The homeless, those that's suffering from war, famine, genocide, and all of that around the world, you're way ahead of the game. You understand? Get your hair done. You understand? you get your nails done and do those things that make yourself happy to you. You understand? And that's a beautiful thing. Some people, they're really going through it. You understand? Yeah, that's why. Even with my illness, I don't feel bad because when you go to the dialysis center, they bring people in on gurneys with both legs amputated. Mm-hmm. Some of them die in the center. You understand? So you come out of there saying, wow, I'm doing pretty good. So you just keep on pushing. But you young ladies, just keep on doing what you're doing. Get your education. And get you in a situation where you prepare for your retirement. Think ahead.
Nope, you're right. We accept that knowledge.
For your retirement, try to get a job that pays benefits, and just live your life. Enjoy it with or without people. You understand? Yep. I mean, there ain't no second chances.
You're
this
right.
This is it.
Yep.
ain't no, I wish I could do over. Ain't no do over. You understand? You just got to keep on pushing, as Curtis Mayfield used to say. Keep on pushing. Can't stop now.
Right. So
that's my position. That's my position.
I know that song.
Oh, God. Professor Ra always comes with some entertaining phrases or something. He said the stampede. Join the stampede.
I want to get a copy of that song, Rashiki.
Oh, okay. I'll send it to you, Ernest.
Yeah. It's stampede to get tamales out here with the Latinos. Line up in the rain to get some tamales.
Oh,
and
man.
Stuff to make tamales.
That's
what make them happy, fine.
It's amazing how so much behavior is learned and how much people just follow without thinking. And when I'm thinking about these holidays, because I'm like Joe in a sense. I stopped celebrating the holidays when I tried to do something illegal to make sure people had gifts. And I was really young at the time. I think I was in my mid-20s. Matter of fact, I was like in my early to mid-20s. And it was like, look what I'm willing to do just because we talk about, we got to. So what I want to say is there's an expectation that's placed upon us. And it's a part of a cultural apparatus that we learn. And then who made these holidays a requirement? People walk around here as if these holidays are a requirement. I'm not required to do none of this. So I got basic life requirements. So it's I escaped this holiday thing years ago, and my family knows because most of them participate. And all the festivities, but they know that I don't. So I don't even. I get a few little texts or whatever. But my kids are like, Daddy don't do that. Or grandkids, Daddy don't do that.
They don't send you no Christmas list.
So I don't have any blues because I'm not a part of it. And if anything, I would do Kwanzaa celebration.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't have too many blues when it comes to holidays. It's other things that give me minor blueses, but I don't suffer for an hour. I just suffer for a minute.
All right. Mm-hmm. So what do you do to maintain the healthy state?
If you call it healthy, what do I do? I do podcasting. because this is a thing of learning from, you know, the community, the world community. So it's a world thing for us. And we learn from people. We meet, like Professor Ross said, we meet people. Keeps me doing something other than my regular regimen during the day. I exercise. I try to practice healthy living. You know, I'm you know, learning how to be healthier. So I kind of have a schedule of responsibilities that I gave myself. Okay. And I just kind of, you know, look to fulfill that. So that's what I do. That's what I do. Okay, Miss Sonia.
Okay. This is more towards Keisha's expertise, and you all can join in as well, but this is for Keisha. What are some things you would suggest people to do who struggle with mental illness?
Well, I mean, it was some great answers that I heard already, but connection to yourself. So one of the things that when I'm working with my clients that I want them to understand is that, again, your emotional space is not a flaw in the system. It's a part of the system. So those emotions cue you in to something. It's like a messenger is telling you something. And a lot of times we just suppress and we push it down. And they're like little drops in the bucket. And then, you know, everything becomes convoluted. So I encourage people to go into the emotion. We're taught it's counterintuitive. We're taught to disconnect, you know, even if someone doesn't tell you directly, we're taught that shut up before I give you something to cry for. You know, you're be a big boy, be a big girl. Don't cry. Here, eat this ice cream. Let's go shopping. Let's move away from these feelings. So that's what we're taught. But it is, again, part of the system. So we need to lean into it and understand why we're feeling the way that we feel. Once we're able to do that, like, and it is a skill, once you're able to do that, then those heavy emotions can be short-lived. So that's one of the things that I encourage people to do. But other than that, you know, I mean, that's the big overarching thing. But those little small things you can do is talk to people, connect. The brother said nature. Oh, my gosh. There was a study done where they had this guy. He was like in a really fast paced area, his state or whatever. And they measured his biological signs or whatever, and all of his like heart rate and things like that. Well, they gave him a set of headphones, and they gave him like some type of screen that showed a lot of nature scenes and sounds, and everything just went down. So definitely nature. I was going to say if that's your thing, but I don't understand how it couldn't be somebody's thing. I love a beautiful sky. I love a beautiful sky, right? But yeah, just connecting, connection.
Okay.
You know.
I have a question for Miss Nakisha.
Yes.
So you saying when you feel in some type of emotion, so basically you're saying we need to investigate that, need Absolutely. To get into it. So do you have any examples of that, or have you experienced that, or somebody that you've worked with or know actually did that and it helped the situation? You have an example of that?
I have an example. I have lots of examples, but I'll tell you this one. So like I said, my sister passed in January, and when people pass, a lot of us, most of us have this tendency to feel guilty, right? We start, I could have did this, I should have did this better. We start to really beat up on ourselves. So when she passed, that started for me, right? That beating up on, I wasn't a good sister and da da da. So I had to lean into the feeling and really walk myself through that and understand, you know what, if she was alive right now today, the relationship that we had would still be that same relationship. And it's not that it was bad. It was good. We just didn't talk every day. So when she passed, it was like, well, we should have talked every day, and we should have did all these things. So I had these all these feelings that came over me. But when I sat down with it, walked through it, understood it, hey, y'all would still have the same relationship. I would not want her to feel guilty about what we had. What we had was respectful and loving. I do not have to feel guilty about what that was. So when I walked through it, those feelings dissipated. They dissipated. If I would have pushed them away and suppressed, they just would have, I still would be dealing with it right now.
So that's like facing things that you need to really reckon with so they can move on, so you can move on.
Yes. Right, because emotions are an energy. It's an energy, right? So emotion, energy, emotion, it's an energy. It comes in, and if it does not go out, you know, it lingers. It's there. It doesn't. That somebody said time heals all wounds. That's a lie. It does not. You know, it just suppresses. It just lies dormant until it's triggered, and things can feel like something happened yesterday. And it could have been 50 years ago. So until we face it and move that energy, it will be with us.
That sounds about right. And I had two siblings, sisters that passed. And I know the first one that passed, I was feeling some kind of way because we used to go at it and all of that. But that's good information. I'm going to make sure I keep that in my Rolodex of strategies, you know?
Yeah. Lean in. You know, I tell my clients, if we eat food and we don't allow that food to go through the normal process, right? We eat food, it digests, we get the nutrients, and then we excrete. If we stop that process, we become toxic. If we try to stop the natural biological process from happening, it does something to our system. It's the same way with emotion. It is a process. It's just not one that we can see. It's not tangible to us, so we don't necessarily believe in it. That's why some people don't believe in the soul and in spirit, because they cannot see it. But it is very real. It is real. And we have to allow those processes to take its course.
That's excellent information. Sonya, you want to answer your own question?
Only thing I can say is definitely what Keisha said, don't suppress it. I'm definitely a good example of suppressing my emotions. I don't like to show my emotions to me. And I've had this conversation with Keisha, it made me feel like I was weak to show emotions. I'm better now because I'm trying to tune in to face some of the challenges that I personally have. And emotions probably is a big one, because I was just felt like you needed to be tough at all times. Nobody needs to see you cry. Nobody needs to see you down. And I remember my grandmother always telling me, you don't need to look how you feel. So to me, that meant in all aspects, whether it was depression, whether it was I'm hurt, my feelings hurt, I'm mad. So I did a good job of hiding my emotions for a long time. And I think I still do it, but just probably not as much. But yeah, so just addressing and facing your fears, it does help. I'm not a big journaler, but I do write down things sometimes just to put in to release it and get it out. So I'll write all type of random thoughts down. But I don't have a certain time that I do it, but whenever I'm feeling overwhelmed with them, then I put it in my notes. So whatever you need to do to face your fears and channel that energy and release it, because it does lay dormant and it just keep building and building. And I feel like it builds into a negative energy. And if you release it to it, then it can be a positive.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go to the panel and see if they want to elaborate on what's being said. And and if they can come up with some more things. Brother Ernest?
Well, I'm still trying to digest it, but I see what she's saying when she, Keisha, correlated that with like eating food, you know, by letting the emotions, you know, just deal with it and let it kind of resolve itself. So that made a lot of sense to me there.
Yes.
And not to suppress it and keep it bottled up inside you, you know, let it out. So
constructively, right? Like you know, when you think about fire, fire can destroy anything in its path, but it also feeds us, it warms us, it, you know, it purifies things. So whatever that, you know, some people do try to let those emotions out, but they let them out in a destructive way. When it's controlled, right, like a fire, when we control a fire, it does miraculous things, right? So you have to know the difference between, am I being constructive or am I being destructive?
Excellent.
So, and we're divinely designed. There is nothing about your emotion that is wrong. We are divinely designed. If we weren't supposed to have tears, the Creator wouldn't have gave us tears. Like it's all useful. Nothing is ever wasted. But we're taught against that. It's not a weakness. It's a strength.
Yeah, a lot of behaviors learned. That's for sure. Excellent.
Absolutely.
Brother Hembry.
Yes, sir.
Any more about what we're talking about?
My answer is pretty much the same. I don't stress stuff. Well, I'm in a position where stuff is not as stressful anymore because I've been retired for 10 years and, you know, doing okay. I'm really exploring the certain aspects of nature, like sitting in the sun and letting that melanin and that pineal gland kind of activate my chakra inside and outside of my body, that puts me in connection, I believe, with the other side, you know, from the ancestral thing. I know every time I sit on that sun and gaze and deal with that at night when I'm sleeping, it takes me to places to let me know stuff. The things I might have to prepare for and what have you. But still that nature, I tell you, you know, nature will show you the way. It's the same time. It ain't false. You know, like, you know, you listen to a lot of manly stuff and human stuff. And, you know, sometimes humanity can be just as tickled as I don't know what. But that sun don't always be there. It's the life force, this planet. So I give it as homage, you know, anytime I can. And just watching the little things in nature, even the littlest critters. Remember, I my garden, I had lizards running all over the place. All these damn lizards, what are these lizards about? And I thought to try to take them out or something. Then I researched it and found out that they was eating all the bugs that be in the garden. I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, nature can teach you what you need to know. I know, what's the name of the pig in it? What's his name of the peanut? You know, the scientist that did all the stuff with the peanut.
George Washington Carver?
George Washington. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you ever read his memoirs, he was coming up with so many discoveries in nature, you know, that all of the major universities wanted to hire him as a science professor, but he stayed at Tuskegee. And they used to ask him, you know, how do you come up with all of these discoveries? He would say, I was out in the woods as the sun rose. When that sun hit me, I'd pick up a plant, and it would just come to me, what the use, of this plant was for. And I remember when I was a classroom teacher, I was filling my kids with everything I had in me. So I had kids in their pajamas standing out in front of the house when the sun rose. I got a complaint from the parents, but I didn't care. I'm giving them all I had. And I'm still exploring it. I think I've only touched my toes in it, what's there. Because my ancestors were doing all kind of stuff in nature before we met other folks. So, but that's what I do. And I read, and all of you know that I'm a historian. I read operating books after books. Because I was a history major, found out I didn't learn that was true. So I've been reading and reading and reading. That's what I do. I want to toss a little tidbit here and there about a certain civilization and what our people did. That's it for me.
All right. Thanks a lot for that.
He mentioned about those lizards. I've been living out in Lakewood for 53 years. And this year, I've been, seeing everywhere I look, I see the lizards. They just kind of came up all of a sudden. So, yeah, but I don't bother them because I had a possum living back in my sycamore trees in the back. And there's also squirrels back there. So, and they get along with each other. They don't bother me. So.
As long as they stay in their lane, huh?
Yeah. H240 there, make sure when you're out there in the sun, man, and bare feet, man, let those feet get grounded to the earth.
Yes.
Well, I gotta get into that. I haven't really got into
that. Because it's like they say, like I worked in electronics, and I used to wonder about that because we got a voltage potential in our bodies, a couple of millivolts. You can get an volt meter and put your, put a positive in one end, negative in another, and you get a reading. When you go out there and ground yourself, and then that reading dissipates. And then they say it really does wonders for your sleep at night because they got these grounded sheets where you plug it in your wall and you ground, there's silver lining in the sheets. And then that silver conducts the ground, from the wall and then through your body and grounds you at night while you're sleeping. And people claim it's, they have restless sleeps and man, all that disappears. So, in nature, like our our ancestors, they were barefooted. They didn't have their feet covered up with shoes like we do all the time. We got all these Nikes and Zumas and Adidas and all that on our feet, and their feet need to hit the ground sometimes.
Yeah, I heard that. Professor Ryan.
Well, to you young sister, just keep on living. And just keep living, and you'll learn how to cope with all the issues that you've gone through, and that you're going to go through. You learn to mature, and you see so much that you get over crisis. When you think about mental illness or mental challenges, there are some people with some serious mental challenges.
That's true.
It's not about a holiday. It's not about this. I mean, they are mentally ill all day, all the time.
Yeah.
You understand? So, You see how blessed you are. If all you have to do is get upset because you don't have enough money to buy everybody a gift or to celebrate going on a cruise or, buy yourself a gold chain or get you a beautiful car, you learn that don't mean nothing. Because you can't take none of that with you.
That's true.
And you get a different calming mentality as you get older. For some people, dear, I know cats that's got gray hair, Jerry curls, and they still, doing the things they were doing when they were young. I applaud them. Go ahead. But you got to be an example for others.
That's the truth.
Understand? You got to exemplify a sense of as we say, do justice, do justice and speak truth, do justice, and walk in the way of righteousness. And that's a very challenging thing to do.
It is.
At the same time, you do your best. And as long as you're happy with who you are, and you know who you are, and you're not letting the world change you to want to be Janet Jackson and can't sing.
You understand? That's right.
I mean, Beyonce. You understand? you don't want to do that. Just be you.
Right.
And I think that's one thing I admire about people on this show. They all are unique, and they all be themselves.
Yeah.
And, it's hard to tell people that. They're paying $500 and $600 to put somebody else's hair in their head. Mm-hmm. You understand? And like the old comedian used to say, when he was dating a woman, he could brought her home, and she took off her hair and put it on the desk. Took off her fingernails, the eyelashes, put it on the desk, her fake breasts, put it on the desk, her fake buttocks, and put it on the desk. And they said, well, what did you do? And he said, hell, I jumped on the desk. You understand? So don't be artificial. That's my point. Don't be artificial. You understand? Because this society have you role playing. Once you find out who you are as a person and you happy with who you are, you're way ahead of the game. Within yourself. Yes.
You I know you remember this. You old enough to remember it. In the Jet magazine years back, this brother, you say you can't take it with you.
Yeah.
He was buried with his Cadillac.
Remember that? Yeah. He wasn't the only one. A lot of people, they used to put things in graves. That's what the ancient people used to do. Not only that, they put their wives in there alive. That's where it went. Ancient history, bro. The point is just be happy with who you are.
Yeah.
First, you got to find yourself, your center, or create yourself, who you want to be as a person. Right. Loving, caring, have peace in your life. Mm-hmm. You don't
peace
need no drama. Important. You understand?
Peace is very important.
No drama. You understand? But when you have children, you're going to get some drama. You understand? But that comes with the territory.
Come with the job.
Yeah, because they're growing, and everything's a crisis to them. You understand? Right. Everything's a crisis. So you learn that for many of them, not all of them, but many of them. And right. So you just be at peace. Find peace even with your children, grandchildren, great grandchildren, because life is short. You're going to look back on life and you're going to say, where did all the time go? You understand? And ain't no wish I had, I should have did it, that, or do that. It is what it is. You've done what you did. That's it. So you just keep on pushing. You understand? Yeah. Just enjoy life as much as you can within. Be at peace.
Right.
And be happy with who you are, what you have. Don't be envious of nobody else. And don't feel that life cheated you because you didn't get married. Don't worry about it. You ain't by yourself. A lot of people ain't got married. They've been happy. This society make you think you have to do certain things.
It does.
You don't have to. Be as we say, from an Afrocentric person that's focusing on my blackness and consciousness, you just live the life that you feel that you should live in a righteous and beautiful and spiritual, physical and mental place. Don't think that you wish you were light with long hair. You don't think that you wish you had a bigger breast, a bigger butt, a bigger this, a bigger lips, or whatever. You understand? Be happy with what you have, and just because it's what's in your heart that people are going to be looking for. What's in your the skills? Can you handle a household? Can you cook? Can you iron? Can you sew? Can you make do with what you have? You know, you meet people and their only happiness is spending. And you know, money. If I don't have no money, I'm depressed. If I ain't in a mall, even though I'm just walking and looking at what I wish I could buy. You understand? I mean, don't get depressed because you don't have everything that you want. All you need is a good transportation car. A BMW get there just as much as a Chevy, a Rolls Royce, or a Mercedes. But you'll learn. Just keep a living. You'll learn. You say, hey, you get this disease called the wants, and the only cure is to have. And you do anything to get it. And you don't want to get into that disease. That's the worst disease out there. All right, Rosicky, that's all I have to say.
All right, thank you.
I'm like age 240 there. I've been retired now for 28 years, and then all I work, well, I got just to worry about my life, you know, so that's it. And I don't stress over that, so.
Well, this will be my 25th year. I retired in 2004, so what, this will be my 25th year. Of being retired. You want to be retired as long as you work. Okay. Then you're way ahead of the game.
Right. It's something to do.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get to 34 years. That's how long I work.
It's very interesting, Rod. You come with the comedian aspect of things. That's good. Laughter is good for mental health also.
It definitely is.
So, Miss Sonya, I'm swinging it back your way.
Okay. I'm pretty much done. I just say I appreciate all the knowledge. I'm glad that I have a therapist who doesn't charge me sometimes to speak reasoning to me. So my cousin, sometimes she has to bring reason to me. So, and I appreciate it.
Likewise, though, you bring it to me as well. Yeah, likewise.
But I just want to say I'm grateful. I'm thankful for each day that I have on earth. I'm thankful for my child, my family. And I just want to keep living, being at peace, enjoying my life, and create my own standards.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
Miss Nikisha?
Yes. It's an honor. Thank you. Anytime I'm able to speak about emotions, I am all for it.
Well, you know I'm going to be calling you.
I am with it. Okay. That is my platform. That is it. It is so natural, and we have been taught to go against what is natural in a lot of ways, but in that one, that is the one that stands out to me the most. I'm most impacted by that. So yeah, anytime. Thank you all. It was an honor. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you for coming. You too, Miss Sonya. So
no,
I guess we can do our pause here. Professor Rod, what are we doing Tuesday of next week?
Well, I gotta check with Brother Keeley. I'm gonna try. He's in Ghana right now. I'm hoping he'll be back for Black Lives Matter.
What about the Kwanzaa Day? That's one of the Kwanzaa days.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll, are we going to do that?
We'll do that. I'll figure out what platform for Kwanzaa.
Okay.
I know the 26th, which is a Friday, this coming Friday, they're having candle lighting at the Culture Center. And the 27th is Fuji Chakalia, and the 28th, my son has his annual Kwanzaa celebration. Everything's good. Everything's good. Everything's good.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So next week we have Brother Thomas coming. Brother Thomas is coming next week. And so that should be a treat. That's one of our team members. So I guess I could say everybody have a good evening and appreciate the attendance. And we're going to keep doing what we do. Each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Everybody continue to have a great day.